contract with Northern Trust for master custodian. Gail.
Thank you. So back in February, the board approved the issuance of a RFP for custodian. We issued the RFP. We received responses from three organizations, Northern Trust, BNY Mellon, and State Street Bank and Trust. State Street is the incumbent. I'm going to turn it over to Henry to talk a little bit more about the process and the work that's been done over the last few months.
You bet. Thank you, Gail. Good morning, board. What I have for you is a brief discussion on what the RFP process was all about and how we reached a recommendation for a custodial bank. As you read in your memo, back in February 14th, we approved an RFP, and the purpose back then, as it was now, is to assess and confirm that the services are in the best interest, most cost-effective for Cicera staff, its members, and beneficiaries. But also key criteria that we were looking for was timeliness of information, data integrity, a single book of record, and also ease of technology, because technology has changed quite a bit in the last few years, and a flexibility to add on services if we wanted to increase the services that we were receiving from our custodian. A comprehensive RFP with about 200 questions was developed to gain as much specific information, detailed information about a bank's services, capabilities, and experience. The final RFP was approved and sent April 13th, with responses due by May 25th, of which we received three. The process was, the RFP responses was reviewed by myself, Raleigh, Tim, Karen took a look at it to make sure it covered all the important areas. But we were looking for a custodian bank that would be the best fit, not just as a vendor, but as a partner with Cicera's needs in the future. We also sought the best flexibility to add on services as a single book of record to monitor all the alternative investments, all the limited partnerships, the commingled funds, so we can look at one place to get reports for year end to monitor instead of various places. When we got the RFP, there was follow-up questions that Raleigh, Tim, and I had in our respective areas. I focused on accounting and reporting, cash management. Raleigh focused on risk, internal control. Tim on investment areas, so we all had a common interest. We all were looking at the technology platform, though, and we had three good impressions. Due diligence visits were done in early September. And based on the responses to the RFP, we visited two of the three respondents.
Which two?
Northern Trust and BNY Mellon. We met with representatives from the bank's client service, investment accounting, performance management, risk management, and private market teams. We took a tour of the technology area to look at any enhancements, system improvements that they had now and in the future. We did a little drive-through and saw what the platform looks like, did a pretend capital call, distribution, some year-end reports. We want to also see how the reports affected year-end audit, and they all put them together nicely. We were very interested in what kind of, in the quality and the experience of the staff and personnel that's going to be assigned to Cicera, particularly the team that was going to be doing the transition. I wanted to see a very detailed project schedule with milestones and deliverables, how we go from A to B, how long it was going to take. We were also interested in the reference checks, and we met up and talked to 37 Act plans, particularly folks who had just changed their custodian banks, to find out how it went and how's it going, if they're happy. So we did that. Based on the quality... Beg your pardon?
How many 37 Act counties did you talk to?
I talked to three.
There's four that they have. You talked to three of them.
The fourth
Which
one...
Which three did you talk to?
Tulare, San Joaquin, and Merced. Based on the quality of the RFP responses and the follow-up questions, the due diligence meeting, the evaluation of the technology, the minimum disruption to the service, the experience of the staff, the quality of the reference checks, and the value of a flat fee proposal. We recommended Northern Trust. With that, I have the folks of the Northern Trust team.
I have questions for you guys first, please.
Sure.
Did you look at cybersecurity with these two? Which one has the best security?
We did. We actually took a tour of the technology area. We sat down with representatives, what they're doing. Raleigh covered discussions with them. We actually broke off on separate groups, visited with them. We met with representatives from all areas.
So you were satisfied with the security that they have
Absolutely.
For our accounts when we start?
Okay,
Absolutely. My next question, did you look at the transaction costs between the two?
I did.
And I did. Who has the best transaction costs between the two?
Well, at the moment, if you look at the numbers, State Streets is probably lower. But the reason it's lower is because we don't have onboarded all the limited partnerships. So if we did that, there'd be a comparison of apples to oranges. So inside the fee proposal that we have includes loading all the limited partnerships and the alternative investments. So after you do that, State Street and Northern is very comparable. BNY Mellon was probably a little on the higher side, but all in all, the value, we were looking at the value theory, you know, the value to the organization. We wanted to make sure that.
So what you're saying is with time, you think the transaction costs with Northern will either equal or maybe even go down lower than State Street?
Well, at the moment, it's good for 5 years, at least for 5 years. So it's a flat fee. And so we also penciled in changes to us. We're going to be going more into alternative investments, and Tim can comment on this. We were going to be adding more limited partnerships. We're going to be using more of their services to handle capital calls, distribution. So we're going to be using more of our custodian. It wasn't a straight extension of the current State Street relationship. We were looking for more.
Got it.
So that's why I say it's a partner, not really a vendor. And so we wanted to see, and we wanted flexibility if we change. Tim mentioned a couple of good thoughts. What if we go to daily? What if we go to monthly? What if we go, you know, there was different scenarios and we were talking about options. We were talking about geography. They're in Chicago. Does that make a difference? With technology, it really doesn't. We, you know, we communicate. For me, I was very interested in what the impact of the transition is going to be, the timing during the year. So I was very keenly interested in what does it mean to move from one bank to the next? What's it going to do to the audit report? Is it going to cause impact?
And you're more comfortable with them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is a question. The flat rate that they're charging, 400 and whatever it is, 1,000
yes.
A year annually, does that include the transaction costs, or are we going to have to pay transaction costs on top of that?
That's everything.
Yeah, so we had bids that were more, we asked for the bid to come in a couple different ways, on a, you know, a full line item basis and then on a flat fee basis. And so we opted for the flat fee basis here.
Do you think we're going to save with the flat fee basis over time?
Relative to their per trade
yes.
basis, yes.
And I will say on the fee side, we are paying less today than what we were a few years ago, and that's for a number of different reasons. And
with State Street today, we're paying less.
Only recently.
What we were paying State Street a few years ago was more than what we're paying them today.
Almost double.
Yeah.
Because it was a percentage based on asset managed, so the structure of the fee wasn't flat fee, it was a percentage. So the more assets we had on board,
oh.
okay, the more the fees were. But if you look at what's happened in the last 2, 3, 4 years, because our FFP investment policy is to transition more of our plan assets into alternatives, and that's what drove some of the fees lower.
We also did a new fee schedule with State Street a few years back, which also impacted
so,
them.
When you asked the other 37 counties, you didn't go to Fresno County?
I didn't go to
Fresno. Fresno County's balance is the closest to us, and it's still only half of what we have. We're at 8.4 or 8.5.
Agreed.
And they're a little over 4.1 or 2.
Agreed. But I was at CalPERS, and the Fresno County CFO, Kathleen, was there, and we had a long conversation about
good
about where she's at, how she performs, and she gave a very good. So that was an informal reference, not provided by them.
Okay.
But I'm a big believer of networking. I was at P2F2.
So am I.
Talked to other plans who are not in the 37 Act plans. From an accounting point of view, the 37 Act plan doesn't affect it. But I wanted to make sure for the purpose of our board, who we manage, that we talked to specifically organizations that had just transitioned, how it went over, and 37 Act plans.
Okay. Do you know if Northern is going to do any RFPs for any of the other 37 Act counties down the road? Like, are any of the other counties looking for a new bank?
Irrelevant.
I don't know.
I don't
know either.
Because I ask that because there are larger systems that are out there. There's five other systems that are as large or larger than what we are, and I'm wondering if they're in the field with those. Okay.
I did talk to somebody.
Can we ask them that question when they're here? We can ask them that question when they're here, right?
Absolutely.
See if they are doing an RFP. Okay.
You know, one of the things that does occur is that the network always keeps track of who just went through this process, and I'm sure I'll get a call in the next year or so. Hey, can I borrow your RFP and just do it that? It happens with auditors, and so
sure.
We help, you know, wherever we can. I did borrow RFPs from other 37 Act plans, and I built one that was very comprehensive, and I borrowed pieces of it, and I built one, and I shared it with the staff to make sure we were covering all the bases so we can get all the information.
Well, I like your explanation of the technology and the ability to blend and add and move around with ease. I think that's important in your area.
Absolutely.
And it also is important for us because the quicker we can react and do something, the better it is for our clients and so our beneficiaries. So I'm happy with what went on. I'm glad that you the three of you narrowed it down to two and then did an on-site with both of those rather than just narrowing it down to two and deciding without doing an on-site, because I think on-sites are important. So, okay, thank you for answering all my questions.
Absolutely.
And I did want to mention before we bring Northern Trust in that I did want to stress this is one of the most critical vendors for CICERA. We've had State Street for a number of years. Obviously, they're safeguarding our assets. They also handle a number of other functions for us, you know, class action filing, securities lending, you know, international tax reclaims. You know, there's a lot of different services that we utilize with them. And over the years, it's become more and more of a commoditized product. And looking at the ways that each of these different firms have differentiated themselves and figuring out what works for us. And obviously, we're not looking for change just for change's sake. You know, I mean, there's a reason why Northern Trust has came out to the top for us, and we're considering doing this transition. I've actually done a custody transition before, and so it's something that, you know, it's definitely doable. You know, and it's not something that at the beginning of the day we were thinking, oh, we're going to transition. I think that all of us were open to this process and seeing what it was discovered. The biggest thing for me with RFPs is really seeing where are we getting our most value? Where are we getting the most bang for our buck? And, you know, in the next few years, will custody costs go up or down? You know, you would assume that they go down because, you know, as technology increases and improves. But I think also the way that we can utilize that vendor to partner with them, to provide additional technological tools and to bring CICERA to where we need to be, you know, that's definitely been in the forefront of this review process. And I wanted to acknowledge briefly, you know, Henry and Tim for their assistance with this, as well as Raleigh from the compliance and risk perspective. It's really been a team effort, and I think that they've done a great job on this.
If we decide to go with this and we vote to, how soon would they become our bank?
So we would begin the transition timeline pretty soon, reviewing legal documents, starting to work on the process. And then I think March 2019 was...
Do you have pencil in March 1st?
So by March 2019, they probably would
right,
be...
Right, March 1.
Mm-hmm. March 1.
Yeah, they pencil in about 8 to 10 weeks of transition time. And so we asked questions about what's our role, how much do you want us in there? And so they penciled in. And you're going to meet the person who is going to be the lead of the transition. Feel free to ask any questions about that, because I was very interested in what they're going to be involved. And also the... in charge of the day-to-day operations, because many times we have questions and their availability. So it's quite open. I really want to follow up on something that Gail said. It's really interesting because the relationship we're seeking here may lead to other efficiencies and savings elsewhere, where right now we're kind of doubling up the technology, the ease of wire transfers, capital calls, and things like that. There's something to be gained there. They have a very robust technology system.
Hmm. Okay. A couple of questions. Sure. Is the dollar fee guaranteed for what period?
At least 5 years.
At least 5 years. Mm-hmm. So there wouldn't be an increase for the next 5 years.
Right. Okay. Right.
And secondly, the biggest thing for me in any kind of a change is the transition plan. How much, to what extent did you focus on the transition, data migration? I've never met a vendor ever that didn't say the transition is seamless. And I've never met a vendor who's achieved that goal, ever.
Absolutely.
So what kind of emphasis or questions did you ask about transition?
How did the reconciliation go? Did balances close with one figure and open up another? I have to tell you that what I heard in those stories had to do with the departing bank, you know, providing information.
You mean not providing it?
Or yeah. Delay. Once the information is out there, then all of a sudden, the customer service kind of slows down a little bit, and so they may
believe
ask.
State Street will do it.
Tim, maybe you can help me on the tax reclaims and some of the balances that were.
Yeah, so the transition process was a heavy area of focus that all three of us were involved in. I think a lot of the questions were centered around when there are issues. What are the issues? What can we do to get ahead of them right now? A lot of it came down to quality of past practices and how that's mapped over. Northern Trust has a very robust set of experiences with transitions from both of the other banks and kind of walked us through where they've seen the trouble spots historically, so we need to be able to get ahead of that. And I thought they had everybody had a robust process. Northern Trust had a very robust process for the transition.
Was that anything you covered with any of the reference checks as to how if they were transitioning and they hadn't been long-term clients of Northern Trust, how their transitions went?
Absolutely. I met with Merced, and they recently transferred over, I think, within the last year. And I know they're nowhere near our size, but still, it meant something to them. And they really commented on how seamless it was, and I said, they were there every step of the way. They were available with questions, resolving. And so they were up to speed a lot sooner than the 8 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Henry, do they by chance happen to transition from State Street?
From State Street?
Yeah, Merced.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
So yes, they left State Street.
Excellent. So their previous bank was State Street?
Pretty sure.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
The... one reference that we received was somebody that left Northern for BNY Mellon, but it had nothing to do with service. It just had to do with different direction. So sometimes it was a chartered plan, chartered city. It wasn't a 37 Act plan. And sometimes the decision making is very different.
Hmm. Henry, has State Street been notified at this point?
They know that we're not part of the recommendation, but mechanically we're just having a conversation now. But yes, they're aware that we're having they're not being recommended.
They haven't answered their phone
since?
Yes, they know. Okay. Sometimes they come back
yeah,
so wanting to try and save the relationship.
there's attempts, there's conversations, or calling to see if they can do anything different in the review, provide. I'd like to believe that we started on this process way back in February, developed a very good RFP. There was plenty of questions, plenty of opportunities, and throughout the way, and my colleagues here will share that sometimes the incumbent probably takes a relationship, they're used to it, might be for granted, and so we felt that the other banks were really responding well, were very enthusiastic for the business.
Sometimes they don't realize that it's more than a check bid. They should step forward as if they are truly
at risk.
One of the candidates, not the incumbent.
I would just add on to Henry's comments. We tried to clearly communicate to the marketplace what we needed on a prospective basis.
Yeah.
And you know, we outlined a path for Sisera going forward and asked banks how they would partner with us on that path. And you know, the incumbent, I think, is focused on the existing relationship. Others could take a more holistic view of and incorporate that forward path and candidly do a better job of communicating how they would be a partner with us.
But a smart supplier will also not burn the bridges, because there's always a chance that this will come up again. And you don't want to leave the former client, with a bitter taste. So.
And also, too, to echo on that, is just, you know, over the years, there's been conversations back and forth, and there have been opportunities and, you know, expressions of, okay, this is what we're requiring, this is what we're wanting to see, and some clear communications on some things. So, you know, when you get to this point, you want to make sure that, okay, have we checked all the boxes? Have we tried everything that we can to see what this vendor relationship can be, you know? And so... Right. I just wanted to let folks know that that's
from my point of view. I did an on-site with Tim years ago with State Street, and I wasn't real, and at that point I was focusing on transition costs. I wasn't real happy, and I think I shared that with him when we left, and have always wanted to see us look for another. So I'm glad with that we are looking for somebody else, and that's why in February I voted for it. If things go as well as you say they have been, more power to us. We may have the right person for the right job.
We did. And as Gail pointed out, this is one of the core providers to the organization. And so we didn't take this lightly. We wanted to make sure we dug. And if it took longer, we were going to say, let's keep looking. But it wasn't a whole sea of banks. There's three to speak of. I mean, there was two others that asked about us, but they opted out because they weren't a very good fit. But we want to make sure, and as Jerry pointed out, it's nothing bad, but since I joined, I always gave State Street the opportunity to step up and said, these are the areas that Sisera is looking for, customer service, timeliness, and things like that. Make sure we don't get to an RFP and these things are not checked, as Gail said.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions I could do?
Anything else for staff?
Okay, we'll bring in the team.
Thank you, Henry.
You're welcome.
Can you give me a favor?
No, I just like one question for me.
Yeah. See if we have any questions.
Yeah.
Are there any questions?
That are bigger than us. You can keep that.
And I know.
I don't think it's happening.
I've got to go. So,
Louis?
We'll be on slide 9 by then.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Thank you for your patience.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to catch up with one another.
There you go. Then you're welcome.
It's great.
So the floor is yours.
Excellent.
I'll let Tom, you start.
You could introduce yourselves and then provide a brief overview of your packet.
Sure. Tom Eichenberger from Northern Trust Company. I am in business development for the public fund segment in North America.
And good morning. My name is Jeff Porta, and I head up our public fund and not-for-profit, but the public fund client servicing group, and I've been with Northern Trust for 27 years, and we're delighted to be here today.
Hi, I'm Kathy Stevenson. I would be your main point of contact. I'm in the client servicing group, and I've been with Northern for 20 years.
Hi, Julie Gansch. I'm the new business consultant, and I've been with Northern Trust 29 years.
Another gentleman was going to join us on the line, Don Anderson for Securities Lending, but we waived him off in the interest of time. Okay, but if we have follow-up questions, we can certainly get back to him. So I wanted to thank you again for this opportunity. We covered a lot of ground with the team since the RFP was issued in April. We had a response that we provided, which I think was slightly in excess of 240 pages. Plus addendums and exhibits and all sorts of good things. We had two rounds of clarifying questions that we supplied. We had a site visit at our headquarters location in Chicago, and then we had some follow-ups after that visit, some written follow-ups. So we thought it was a great process. We think we know you pretty well. In dealing with Henry and his team, we went through a lot of details, and frankly, we think Northern Trust is a great partner for the plan. Today's presentation, we're really going to focus on seven key areas. I'm going to talk very briefly about the Northern Trust Company to give you an introduction to who we are. We're going to speak about technology. Jeff will take care of that. Kathy Stevenson will speak about client service, alternative investments, and performance measurement. Again, all very briefly. We have securities lending in the book. We will not be covering that, but then Julie Gansch will be covering the transition activity that would take place. And, of course, we're prepared to answer any questions that you have either as we're presenting or at the end, whichever works for you. So Northern Trust Company, and I'm on page 2 of the book, is a very simple organization to understand. We have two businesses. We have asset servicing, we have asset management. We use a single global operating platform for that. And we're based out of 26 locations, and we service clients out of 104 markets in the U.S. So the message there is we are well diversified, and we can handle and settle any investment that you go into globally. Moving to the next page of the presentation, Northern is unique in that our name hasn't changed for the 150 years we've been in business. We haven't had any transformational mergers. We have certainly bought businesses and capabilities as the years have gone on. We bought the Omnium platform from the Citadel Hedge Fund, which we then leveraged for some applications on our side. We just bought some businesses from UBS over in Europe. So we do acquire capabilities, but the name hasn't changed. It's not hyphenated. And we think that stability offers a lot of value to our clients, our employees, and the communities that we serve. In fact, we just had our 10th CEO announced. That was announced a couple of years ago. So that's 10 CEOs and 150 years in business. That's pretty unusual here, but we think it just demonstrates the continuity and the stability of the Northern Trust Company. So I could go on and on. The numbers are all here. You can look at those at your leisure, but with that, I'll turn it over to Jeff to talk about the public fund segment specifically.
Yeah, great. So just to give a couple of numbers to you and the way we're set up from a public fund perspective, from a client servicing perspective, we have 182 clients that we serve. And that's about $790 billion assets under custody. So it gives you a little perspective. And we have 40 client service professionals that support those public fund clients. So it gives you a little bit, if you do the math, you know, that's about the average is about $5 billion. But I'll tell you our range in that is really anywhere from $500 million to $50 billion. And I think what's unique about Northern Trust is we're not, you know, I always look at it as the leader of the group. I like to have one team, one A team, and we're all in Chicago. That's really where we service, and we think that's the best thing. That's where our headquarters is. You know, I don't have this team. I don't have an A team here and a B team somewhere else and a C team else across the country. We think to have it all where the executives are, and our operations center, where we can all, we all know each other very well, whether it's the accounting group, the performance team, and Kathy will talk a little bit more about the team. But we like that type of setup, and we think that's what really resonates, and our clients appreciate that. I think also from a perspective of, you know, the commitment that we have to California on page four is a representative list. So you can see whether it's through, we have others that are not on this list from California as well, but there's a real commitment there, and we've had great momentum. And I would say over the last 3 years, what we're really excited about is we've brought in close to 20 new public fund clients in the last 3 years. And, you know, just to be transparent, we've lost two in that time period. So I don't like to lose any, but I would tell you those weren't service issues. And that's when I think about what we have control over at Northern Trust and with our relationships is the service aspect of it. We feel really comfortable and confident that we've got the right model in place. And especially, as Tom mentioned, the September, early September meeting that we had with your staff, I think we really felt a strong connection there. And I always say we're at our best when we have clients that want us to be partners, and we definitely saw that with the staff that visited with us. We can certainly be that vendor, but we think, you know, it takes two to tango to really get things done and really to have an interactive relationship and to have a strong partnership, and that's where we're at our best, and we think our clients feel that way. Yeah.
Jeff, one of our trustees asked earlier in the meeting whether or not you foresee adding to this list here any more California plans, specifically 37 Act plans.
Whether we
in the future, are you responding to any recent or will be responding to any RFPs in the near future?
Absolutely, and I don't, you know, Tom, from the sales perspective, I'm trying to think what's out there right now in the pipeline, because I don't have a name, but I'll tell you, in the last couple of years, we've brought in a lot, several new ones.
How about here in California?
Yeah, in California, for sure. I think of just a kind of a representative list from Los Angeles Water and Power. We brought that in not too long ago, and Fresno County, Stanislaus County, not long ago. Yeah,
Merced. Those are all very recent.
Yeah. So we've got a wonderful, actually, a really good list of clients in the California area for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to talk about technology, and one of the things when people ask me, well, why the momentum? Why are we winning and growing the way we are against, you know, good competition? And, you know, I would say it is. It's the financial strength that Tom spoke to, I think, is extremely important. Definitely the technology that I want to spend a few minutes on is absolutely critical in this space, specifically alternative assets. And that's something that you have not had and asked for your custodian to report on. And we really believe that's a huge differentiator at Northern Trust. We've heard that from our clients. And so we think there's a real dedicated service around that we're going to talk to. And also at the end of the day, I mean, it's the people, and you'll get a chance to hear a little bit more about our philosophy on the people. So I do want to spend just a couple of minutes on technology, because that is obviously in this business very critical. I wanted just to share with you really our strategy. There's three core pillars that we have when it comes to technology. I'd say creating exceptional client experience is absolutely important, and that's what we plan to do for our clients, and that means it needs to be personalized, it needs to be intuitive, and it needs to be customizable for our clients. And that's from user to user, and that's something that our technology does provide and we think is going to be important for each staff member. We also want to be an organization that's building leading capabilities. And that's not always us building something from within, but it's finding opportunities where our clients have asked us to assist in specific type of information, and I'll talk about an example in just a moment there. And then the third, which I'm sure all of you can really appreciate and relate to, is this maximizing the protection of data. I mean, that is sacrosanct at Northern Trust, client information. I will tell you that this group right here, all of us and every employee at the organization goes through extensive training, whether it's on cybersecurity, whether it's just on how to disseminate client information, absolutely critical, because the facts are, where does all the cyber crime, most of the highest percentage cyber crime come from? Well, it comes from employees that are clicking into links that they shouldn't be accessing and things like that. So there is strict training that we go through. A matter of fact, we get emails from time to time that tries to trick us intentionally. And if you fail, 2 seconds later, if you click the link, you get an email that says, congratulations, you need to take a class, which isn't really a congratulations, but unfortunately. But that, we think, is the right thing to do, and so we're very astute. I will tell you, from private information and custody account information, we have systems in place that have been built that if someone is mistakenly ready to send out an email outside of Northern Trust that has your account number on it, kind of a simple thing, not even your name, but just an account number, it stops it. It won't allow it. It asks the question, do you realize you're ready to send out account information? Because it has the tools that we've built, is smart enough to know that that's ready to happen. So I cannot emphasize enough the importance, because we realize that is the reputational risk. If we fail in that area with your data, we understand the consequences. And so we've been very fortunate. I think we've got the right systems in place and the right technology to protect us and to protect you. And I just think I can't emphasize that enough. Just to turn you to page 6, this is really remarkable. When I mentioned I've been here 27 years, and I can really appreciate this. You know, we need to invest in the business to support our clients over time. And you look at how it's evolved, and I'm not going to go through this in great detail, but I will tell you the parts that we think that you're going to really benefit the most, and I mentioned it briefly, was the alternative assets. That is something that absolutely is going to be most important, to bring those on the books so you can get nice, an important one-stop-all reporting, valuations, and we'll talk about that. Regulatory reporting, I'll tell you, we're putting a lot of capital and dedication and a team around that. And Greg Johnson, I know, had an opportunity to meet with Henry and spend some specific time on how we're going to be able to help with the CAFR and other type of GASB reporting. And so that's something that we're excited about, and we have a team dedicated to do that. Also, when you think about transaction execution online, of course, you need to have that flexibility to move money throughout the day when you may not even be in your office. And it's also that mobile delivery that we're spending a lot of dollars to make sure we know people travel, people are away, to be able to continue to conduct their business while on the road with having their mobile app, again, that is secured. And so those are things that we're really, really focused on. The one point I want to make on page 7, because this is a big differentiator, and Tom mentioned this in his opening comments about how we really haven't been distracted with a lot of different acquisitions. We've grown organically, and so our system is called Passport. That's our technology, and it is a single integrated global operating platform, internally developed, which we think is really neat. And I think the best part about it is the idea that, and this number has been updated, it's actually $2.7 billion that we're going to be spending from 2019 through 2021. It's going to be $2.7 billion. But when you look at the breakdown, the 55% to capital expenditure and the 45% to operations, I really look at that and say 55% of that capital is going towards enhancements and making sure that the client experience is where it needs to. And the 45%, as it says here, is really kind of keeping the lights on, just kind of the operations, day-to-day tasks. So, you know, the nice thing about it, those dollars are going to be going to continue to give us expanded capabilities, which we think is going to be really critical. And the last piece I'll just mention on page 9, and then we'll move it over to Kathy to talk about client servicing. I think when you think about Northern Trust and you think about how we're headquartered in Chicago, you may ask, when I make this comment about the Silicon Valley, it's like, okay, Northern, how are you engaged in the Silicon Valley to make sure we're getting the best in talent, but also the best in capability? And we have an asset management subsidiary called 50 South Capital. They're a private equity fund to fund. And as you can see here, they've spent $1 billion in startups over the last 6 years. And so we are actually here in California and Silicon Valley quite a bit, working with the latest and greatest technology. And we've brought in a lot of good talent from an IT perspective that have joined us, but we've also increased capabilities with some of the latest and greatest technology, which I think has been really important as well. So very well connected, need to be in this business, as I mentioned before, about technology, so critical in this space. One other comment I'll make on page 10 is we created an innovation lab, which I know the staff had a chance to visit when they were in town, which was pretty neat. And it's been around for 5 years or so, and it's this complete new way of thinking. I will tell you that one of the things that was created was this onboard dashboard, which you will experience. We're fortunate enough to get the final vote to be your new custodian, and we think that's exciting because it's just going to be a very transparent, excellent, and I'll let Julie, I know I'm ready to steal your thunder there, but it's a really important tool, and it's the word I'm going to use, it's a disciplined approach to making sure that it's a very smooth transition, because we know that's going to be very, very important. So, but I'm going to pause right now, because I could certainly go on the technology front, but I'll definitely take questions and just want to hopefully give you a sense of the technology aspect.
But Jeff, one question is on valuation of alternative assets. How do you do that?
Yep. Good question. So what will happen is we're going to become an interested party between Contra Costa and the general partner. You'll make us an interested party. So basically what that means is anytime you get information from the general partner, we're getting it as well. And so that may be capital call requests that are coming up. That might be distributions that are coming into the account or the quarterly statement and any valuation updates. And so we are getting the exact same information that you're receiving. Now, I'm glad you asked the question because I'm going to throw technology into it. What's been pretty cool is that we're now using robotics, and we're up to about 25% of all general partner statements that we're actually not touching it, that a lot of this information is on websites that you need to pull. So we've created robotics machine learning that is able to bring in, go into the website, bring in a statement for Contra Costa, look at the key data elements within the statement. So what's that's going to be? It's going to be valuations and any kind of transaction flows, and takes it and is going to post it directly right into your account. Which that's the way we want to do it, because now we don't have to worry about transposing any numbers. We don't need to worry about delays and saying, well, we need 24 hours. We have the statement, but now I need 48 hours to update it. This is all part of where the technology is going. But it's also going to make it much more automated, and what we say is going to make it more real-time, too, because we're not going to have delays.
And what do you do to verify that the information the managers are reporting is accurate and that, you know, the valuations are in line?
Yep. So, and it's still, as I mentioned earlier, it's a people business. There's still people committed and dedicated. We actually have an alternative assets group, and I know, Kathy, do you want to take the question?
If you actually... Do you want to just go over alternatives now?
Sure.
Being that that's sounds like a very important key. Obviously, it's a little different than what you're doing now, and we know that that's extremely important. It's very different in a good way. But we do have an entire section on it. I can cover it now, or we can cover it a little bit later in the discussion.
So Will had a question first.
So in terms of technology, I noticed you put here on blockchain, and I was curious to know if I know blockchain technologies essentially have revolutionized transactional, integrity and audit capabilities and all that stuff. Have you seen that or are using it internally or externally with other partners or vendors that you're working with in the industry yet?
Yeah, so let me, right hot off the presses, actually, we just created with one of our general partners, because we're a private equity administrator, so for some of your general partners, we may even be their administrator. And so we've used blockchain technology recently, which is pretty neat, with this general partner for capital calls. And so what that means is you've got this ecosystem, a blockchain ecosystem with all the limited partnerships, the general partner, Northern Trust, auditors, regulatory, obviously where the general partner is located, they're involved as well. And so we're actually using it, Will, today.
Awesome.
And we think it's awesome. And we think we know we're the first in the industry to do this. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, going on a little bit of a sidebar, our president of the institutional business, Pete Cherowich, young guy, he's 51 years old. He's been with Northern for 10 years. He is all about technology, innovation, all excited about blockchain. You may have heard, may not, but the Australian exchange is looking towards going that way towards a blockchain experience. We're monitoring. We'll be ready to go through some of those experiences that we've already had.
Excellent.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, and for everyone else, so cryptocurrencies are based off blockchain technologies, and blockchain itself is a very secure method for doing transactions, which is revolutionized transactional industry, is looking to revolutionize the transaction industry.
So yeah, we don't expect there to be a very quick adoption, though.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Chain or alternatives, in large part because the market is so distributed.
Right, and there are a lot of unimpeded by progress because it just works this way, right?
Exactly.
So, right. No, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn over to Kathy, and I will tell you, this is the piece that I made the comment, but I'm going to end my technology comment, is technology is important, but at Northern Trust, custody, and this business that we're in, it's a people business. And this is a good time to kind of show to you on how you can expect that we're going to support all of you and your staff from a people aspect.
So did you want to talk about client service first and then move into alternatives later?
Sure.
Is that okay?
But while you're speaking, Jeff has to quietly say to himself, Contra Costa.
I'm a Chicagoan. I got to work on it.
He's saying Costa.
Sarah. Sarah. Right?
I'm keeping track one more time, and you lose the case.
You know what?
I may kick him underneath the table.
Yeah, you can remove me, too. Maybe that's best for us. I apologize. I will get it right. Thank you.
Again, I would be your client executive. Just a little bit of my background. Been with Northern Trust, obviously, for 28 years. Born and raised in Chicago. I actually started my career in trust operations working for an institution where Northern served as our depository institution, and then later moved to Northern in a client servicing role. So actually been on both sides. So I think that gives me a much better understanding of your concerns, and I also think that some of my operations experience is one of the things that separates me from some of my peers. I think I was telling Tim and Raleigh and Henry when they came in, part of my career was actually working on the Chicago Firemen's Fund because my dad is a retired fireman. So he would always ask me, so how's my fund doing? You know, we talk a little about the portfolio, and he would just keep nodding his head. He had no idea what I was talking about. He was just, you know, glad that he was getting his pension check every month.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Actually, if you can turn to page 15, just want to talk a little bit about our servicing the approach. You can see that we've got four main components. First and foremost is the senior and executive oversight, which Jeff and Pete lead that portion of the oversight. As Jeff mentioned, Pete is the president of our business unit, and he and Jeff work very closely to advocate for our clients throughout the organization on our behalf. The next piece is really the client management, the relationship management, and Araceli Estrada and I both make up the bulk of that piece. Araceli works very closely with me on the administrative aspects, serving as your client service manager, and frankly, my right arm, because I certainly wouldn't be successful without her, and I have really high expectations of her. She's as detailed, committed, and client-driven as I am, and we work really, really well together as a team. We've listed our backups here as well in the event that we're out of the office, either traveling or on that wonderful vacation that we've earned. Well, I've got more of a strategic focus. Araceli, on the other hand, has more of a tactical focus. And you can see on the next page, we've kind of broken up some of our roles and responsibilities. But you'll notice that there is a lot of overlap, and that's why it's very, very important that Araceli and I are very close to each other and talk to each other very, very often. We remain, we're constantly in communication with each other, but I'm the one that's ultimately responsible for overseeing the entire service delivery team and ensuring that all of the services that we outline in the service description are being met. I would also serve as the point of contact for escalating any potential challenges that may come up. So back to page 15 in the lime green section, if you want to call it. Also on the servicing team are various members from across the organization that would be assigned to CICERA. So for example, Julie would be the new business consultant and handle the transition from beginning to end, and I know she's going to cover that shortly. We would also assign a passport consultant, which would be your main technical contact. So that person would work to make sure all your downloads are set up correctly, all your feeds to your investment consultants. They'd also handle any initial and ongoing training of our passport system that Jeff talked about. And then last but not least, our core custody function teams. These are the teams within our operations and technology group. These are the individuals that work with the Fed to settle your trades. They work with the depositories to post income and dividends and your corporate actions, They'll work with the general partners and your fund companies to get those statements and post the activity. And they'll also work with your investment managers to reconcile all that activity. So essentially handling all the day-to-day processing of activity and reconciliation with the depositories. So as you can imagine, this is just a small subset of the individuals that come in contact with and impact the integrity of that data on your portfolio on a daily basis. This service team, as well as all of our service teams across the globe, really focus on our global servicing standards. If you turn to page 17, we want to ensure that whether you're a client in Europe, Asia, or North America, that you're receiving that same high level of service. Now, I've actually read through your RFP and your list of services to be required. And, you know, as we mentioned, we've spent several hours with the team in Chicago learning more about your expectations and your needs. And I am confident that we can deliver on these services. My method, which is really aligned with what's on the slide here, is to listen to you and your staff and plan what needs to be done with the help of Julie and others, and then work with you and the many partners that are available to me so that we can execute on your behalf. We'll then measure our success through some feedback, both informally and formally through client surveys and relationship reviews. And then we'll refine our processes based on the feedback that you share. And then we're essentially back to that planning process again. And for a new client like yourselves, the majority of that planning is really done prior to the transition, again, with the help of Julie. So on the next slide, page 18, just wanted to highlight some of the services and capabilities of a global custodian. This page really shows the core services and the major areas of responsibility that Northern Trust will handle for Cicera. And many of these services are really taken for granted, and a lot of clients consider these standard and are really looking to custodians to provide other activities such as securities lending and foreign exchange and other capital market services, or cash management or analytics. And while we do handle all those services as well, you know, as Jeff mentioned, we are your custodian. As your custodian, we are the guardian of those assets, and we need to make sure that this remains a primary focus. And all these wonderful technological advances that we have going on, we definitely need to make sure that we've got the basics right as well. As you can see, we've got an increased focus on straight-through processing. And just keep in mind that all these activities are happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in a global market. As you can imagine, we place great emphasis on automation and controls. And again, talking about one of the areas that's very focused on that is our alternative assets group. So why don't we talk a little bit more about alternative asset services. So starting on page 20. We do have a dedicated team in our operations and technology group that specifically handles the processing and reporting of alternative assets. We've got over 400 clients, 7,000 funds, and over 40,000 asset lines. So that's a specific client, specific asset. We've got a team of 450 people processing worldwide in Chicago, Tempe, Limerick, London, Bangalore, and Melbourne. And we process 24 hours, and each of these locations has its own processing group. The next slide, page 21, really just highlights some of the additional services from both a monitoring perspective as well as an accounting perspective, such as the file cabinet, the private equity file cabinet, and capital call execution. So Northern offers several different options to timely administer the capital calls. So our clients have the ability to use our automated system called Trade Order Entry to both set up the capital call as well as approve it. Or you can choose to use our capital call execution service, where Northern would set up the capital call based on the general partner notification, and then you can approve it. Or you can have Northern both set up and approve the capital call, kind of saving you some time and resources. And we would obviously be just doing that on your behalf. So we obviously have a lot of flexibility and controls in place, and we'll just work with you to determine which option works best. So then the next page, I think, Gail, this may address some of the questions that you were asking as well, on page 22. So our alternatives team is structured into four different teams, and they're actually organized by function. So the first team is our transition team. And the transition team is responsible for all new onboards of clients, as well as the initial capital calls for all current clients. They're also the team, as Jeff mentioned, they're the team that will work to get Northern Trust set up as an interested party, and then they're all working to get all those data inputs at the beginning when that initial investment is made. The second team is our operations team, and they actually cover both one and two below, so they actually process both the capital calls and the distributions. It's a dual approval team, and that's actually organized by fund. The third team is our valuations team, again, organized by fund, and those are the folks that are actually reaching out to procure the missing statements. So they've got the fun job of it's supposed to be in by fifth business day. We haven't received it yet. If it's one of those that we're not automatically retrieving online electronically. And then the fourth team is our audit team, and this is actually organized by client. So these are the folks that complete the daily audit on all of the cash movement activity, as well as the monthly audit for the entire client's portfolio from an alternative asset perspective. But Gail, to mention, or to try and answer your question, you were asking about the valuations. We are specifically relying on the valuations that are provided on their statement. We're not doing an underlying review to ensure those actual valuations are correct. We're relying on the statements that are provided by the general partners. I think they've got their additional review that they are performing to ensure that those, to provide the background of where they're, how they're obtaining those valuations.
And when Northern, when we input it, there's someone approving that valuation. So it's not just input by one person and then off through the reporting. There is a team leader that reviews every input. So I don't know if that helps you.
You know, I think one of the things, I know you stated this, Kathy, but I think it, just to really emphasize, when you think about general partner statements, if there's 100 of them, they look 100, there's 100 differences on how they look, right? And so we like the idea of having a team that gets to know the general partners, and that's why we assign our staff to this general partner, that general partner, so they get to know. So if they have questions, they have a contact over there, and they can get whatever questions they needed answered. So that's great. We like to have that connectivity. But then it's also important to have that you know that you've got an alternative assets auditor at Northern Trust that's part of the team that's just focused on your portfolio, to making sure that when whatever deadline day we've committed to make sure for the monthly reporting that it's accurate and ready to go.
You're I'm sure familiar with financial statements today that have back in the footnotes a series of categories that determine how assets are valued, and they start with the valuation on an exchange, New York or NASDAQ or what have you, that's given the highest level of ranking, and then there are two more going to the lowest level. What I'm sort of asking, and this is really for Tim and Henry, does the method in which you use to calculate the valuations support them? Is there enough detail, as opposed to somebody looking at it and saying okay, but yeah, nothing being provided, as contrasted to enough information being provided that they develop some level of comfort that is beyond what they now have? In other words, does this improve your ability to value these assets that are not, that are a very significant part of our totals?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's the GASB 72 requirement.
Yep.
There is a fourth category that if they're reported on an NAV, we look for their audited financial statements that support the NAV. So it's level one, two, or three for an NAV for the limited partnerships, and that's what we currently use at the moment.
In addition to my forgetting the specific terminology, I was broadly.
Yes.
What I'm looking for, do you think you'll have more information of higher value in the ultimate numbers that we pick that are part of our determination of asset value that's basic to how we operate?
Well, higher value... I would say yes. Timeliness was one of the issues. Okay. Getting the information, the robotics that was mentioned earlier, a single record production of the standard for the CAFR. So the timeliness and the reliability of the information is certainly going to go up quite a bit.
And I would just point out, I know we had shown you a suite of private equity reports, and there's a lot of transparency that. Mm-hmm. the investment office and the accounting group will have for sure. That really, so it's not just a valuation at Northern Trust. It's okay, understand, here was a statement from whichever period from the general partner. Here's all the flows that have occurred, and here's an ending balance. So it's a real strict audit of how to get from point A to point B from a valuation.
That was just what I was looking for. Thank you.
And that's really helpful for the auditors as well to see where we're coming up with that valuation.
Yeah. And I think that, and you speak of the auditors, that's actually part of the auditor's annual package, and that we'll send to you as well, is the private equity reports with that detail.
And just one other comment regarding alternatives for the onboarding. Since they're not currently on record at your custodian today, one of the things that I'm going to ask of your staff is to provide me with not only the list of the funds that you're invested in, but the most current fund company statement, because we're going to do what we call an alternative asset scrub. Do we have other clients that are investing in these funds today? If we don't, then we need to reach out to those fund companies so we can understand what type of asset that is. And the notification letters that we've been talking about, we're actually going to create those letters for you. Here's the Northern Trust's new wire instructions for those distributions to come to Northern, and then also set up Northern as interested parties. So we're going to put that on your letterhead if you share it with us, put everything out there, you sign it, send it, and we'll actually provide that notification to the fund companies on your behalf. Then a week or so before the transition, follow up with a phone call. Did you get this letter? Are you changing your wire instructions? It's because it's really important that we start getting those distributions and those statements to Northern Trust. So we do a lot of that for you. Okay.
And one other thing that I'd like to highlight as a benefit, because we're based by fund from the valuation perspective, as well as the capital call and distribution, is, like Julie had mentioned, if there are four or five other funds that are invested, or four other clients that are invested in that same fund, if there is a capital call and our operations group has four trade order entries that are listed where clients have input the capital call and they're missing yours, they're actually going to reach out to us. So they'll be reaching out to Araceli. Araceli will be reaching out to Henry and the team and say, we don't have your capital call yet. Are you going to be processing that in the system? So that's an additional check just to make sure that all the partners, all the limited partners that are invested in that particular fund are posting the capital call at the same time. So, are there any other questions as it relates to the alternative asset processing? I know this last slide really talks about the robotics, and I think Jeff covered most of that earlier.
So you just kind of keep your ears open for any weird or negative news on a certain fund, or so if there's a capital call that there's some investigation or research to see if everything is going smoothly with the project, or if there's any red flags that come up, do you get that kind of information?
Our limited partnership team may be involved in some of those discussions. We're, again, really relying upon the notification that we're receiving from the general partner, and you would be receiving those same notices as well.
I'm just wondering if there's an additional layer of protection in that.
Probably not. You know, unless news started circulating in the community, if you will, that there was some problems posting with a certain limited partnership, then we might become aware of it. But generally speaking, I think you're referring to if the limited partnership, if there's something going on there and maybe money's being misappropriated and that type of thing, we would probably not hear about that any more quickly than you would.
Okay.
So we could certainly become aware of operational issues more quickly than you, and we would bring those to your attention.
Okay.
But like so many aspects of this business, you know, we have to rely on other firms' auditors. So when the general partner issues an audited financial statement, we really can't see past that. You could hire a third-party forensic auditing firm, and there are some out there that basically pull apart every general partnership and try to value the assets independently and so forth. But some clients do it, very expensive, and it's not something that Northern Trust Company does.
Any other questions? Yes.
You've touched lightly on this, and I guess I'd like to hit it again. We're relying so much on technology these days. Understandably, it's great. Technology is we'd be in sad shape without it, and there's going to be more and more of these demands. So what kind of steps does the organization take to kind of strike a balance between technology and people? Mm-hmm. When you start develop or relying so much on technology, I've seen technologies that have been described as high tech, low touch. Mm-hmm. The person who's monitoring the technology, who's looking at the screens, who's looking at the blinking lights, is not in a position to be able to bring some common sense sometimes to a question. The number's there, the number must be right. Mm-hmm. And the person doesn't have the ability to say, that number makes no sense. They don't know what's behind the blinking lights.
Sure.
There are countless examples out there of people that were so focused on technology. You're seeing now with some Tesla drivers and some pilots and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Pilots I've seen in the Navy describing, in the Air Force, turning off some of their systems, some of their heads-up display systems, because the overload from technology is so great that they can't fly the plane.
Yeah.
How do you strike a balance between that and the organization to make sure that you don't become so reliant on technology that it excludes the human touch?
That's a very fair question, and I would say we're using technology for efficiencies. It's kind of speed to market type of information. When I mentioned the alternative assets, usually, you know, in the old days, it's taken us 2 to 3 days once we touch the statement to get it to the client's report, and we've heard that's too long. Decisions need to be made. We need to be quicker. So we're using the technology to help with that efficiency. But what hasn't changed is the high touch of the audit that takes place to ensure that what we're reporting to our clients has been completed by the analyst that's responsible, team leader that double checks. There is that type of support. And so really, when I tell you about technology, it's not a situation at Northern where we're just cutting. This is an opportunity to cut positions at Northern. It's to better utilize the talent that we have to provide the reporting and the data that our clients expect. Does that help in?
Yeah.
Because that's, I'm with you.
That's what I'm wanting to hear.
I agree what you're saying. Yeah. And we haven't lost. It's not as if we have this technology, we don't need this auditor anymore because we've got it. That is so far from the truth.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on just to talk, touch a little bit about performance. On page 25, we know that performance is important to Sisera and that your investment team needs to know and understand how your managers are performing and at what level of risk. And we do have tools to ensure that data is correct. And when they came to our offices, we did demonstrate various tools and solutions to help with that monitoring, to monitor the manager's performance, to ensure that the returns that you're receiving are what you expected to receive, but also to monitor the portfolio to ensure that your managers are actually adhering to the guidelines that you've established and agreed upon with them. So this first page on 25 just highlights some of those tools that we have in place. Clearly, that's an important role in monitoring performance for many of our clients. As you'll see on slide 26, we've got over 800 clients globally with over 60,000 portfolios across the various risk and performance tools that clients are utilizing. And while each of these work in conjunction with one another, each of these are actually a separate the team functions separately. So based on the services that you decide to subscribe to, you would have a consultant assigned specific to this category who would be a professional and within this particular group of whether it's performance measurement or compliance monitoring.
Are those add-on items?
Yes, you have. We have included the performance measurement as part of our fee schedule.
And investment compliance?
Yes.
Appointment later on.
And if those were broken out separately, like can you just ballpark how much a performance measurement component would cost?
I think performance $35,000 that we looked at.
For the public markets, I think it was $35,000. Right. All in, it was $53,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a whole, we included a whole fee schedule where certain components of the performance and compliance are included in the core fee, but then you can go all the way out to risk products and that type of thing.
Okay.
And then finally, just on the last page on 27, you know, all of these tools and capabilities really rely upon the accuracy and the quality of the data that's being fed into them. And we do have the tools to ensure that data is accurate. We have very robust audit tools and controls to ensure that the data that's going in is good and that the results that you're seeing can be relied upon. We want to ensure that you've got the data that you need so that you are better informed to be able to make better decisions. And again, while they were visiting with us, we had showed them several of the different ways that we can deliver the data, whether it's via email or via mobile devices, iPad, or phones. And again, from a transition perspective, we would work with your investment consultant to ensure that all of the historical data is being fully backloaded. From there, the last section that we have is to talk about the transition, but just wanted to stop to see if there were any additional questions. No? Then Julie, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about...
Yeah. First, my background, the 29 years I've been at Northern Trust has been touching public fund clients like yourselves the entire time. Before moving into the role as a new business consultant, I was a client executive like Kathy, and I primarily was the LA, California RM, and I loved life, so thank you very much. Nice to be back here. But in my role as a new business consultant, I've transitioned in 86 clients worth around $206 billion in assets. 26 of those from State Street worth around $64 billion. And the reason why I tell you those stats, because I want you to feel comfortable that I've done this before, and we have a very, very good process in place. So we need 8 weeks for a successful transition. I've told your staff within those 8 weeks, I'd like to have 1 hour a week to touch base and give an update on. If you turn to slide 32, this is a screenshot of that device that Jeff had alluded to, the onboarding portal. This is an interactive portal that we will use along with yourselves and all of my internal partners. This screenshot here is just the overview page, and you can see the different colors that there's green, blue, and a little bit of red. There are 118 tasks in order to be completed for a successful transition. Each task is, lists out what that task is, who owns it, when's it due, and you know, when is it completed. It's my job to make sure that everyone, whether it's State Street, ourselves, you, whoever there is responsible, that you're doing the tasks in a timely manner. If not, the system will automatically turn that task to red. So when I do my weekly status to senior management, I do a screenshot of this, and if there's something red, I need to explain why it's red. I don't want to explain why it's red, so it's my job to make sure everything's green and blue, okay? So one of the first things that we're going to do is we're going to come out here and do what we call a kickoff call. And this is the actual agenda item that I will use, and you can see here that I've made lots of notes from our first meeting, so we have a really good head start. But the idea behind this kickoff meeting is to not only understand, you know, what you're investing in, but how are you using the custody data today, and how do you want to use your custody data going forward? So you're currently not using your custody data. The alternatives are not on record, so we'll show you all the great reporting that we have, and it's really an understanding for both myself from a transition perspective, but also for Kathy and Araceli to understand business as usual, you know, what do you expect from Northern, okay? So communication, it's really important. You will need to let all of your fund companies know that you're making a custody change. You're going to have to let all of your investment managers know that you're making a custody change. And we do have sample letters, and I can help you with that communication as well. One other thing, too, it's important to highlight you do have global markets. I understand that there are some non-U.S. mandates out there today. So one of the things that we're going to ask your prior for as soon as possible is what we call a market registration report. It's really important to understand the name that these markets are opened in because we're going to, one of the groups that works with us not only during the transition but then ongoing is a global market documentation specialist. Their only job is filling out global markets, you know, the documentation. So we're going to reach out to State Street, how are the markets open today? We're going to ask you for your IRS determination letter, you know, what's your legal name, and make sure that everything's in sync so we can then fill out that paperwork on your behalf. So we do a lot of communication, a lot of hand-holding. Oh, and the other thing I forgot to mention, out of those 118 tasks that need to be completed, you have around 20. So it's not too bad, right? Well, Henry's got 20. Maybe Tim's got two. Hopefully. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We're
going to
work
on
right.
For the record, a few of the 20 aren't just one sentence items. Like, they're a little robust.
Yeah. Complete contract.
Right. Right.
As an example.
That's number one. So I know I talked really fast, but are there any specific questions that you have regarding the transition, the 8 weeks, the timing, anything that I can help answer? Yes.
As well as you know us, are there any, you have any expectations of problems that are going to take place in this 8 week period?
No, I say no, but I'm gonna caution you, I haven't seen how State Street has your markets today. I've seen in the past dealing with them that they like to put your account number in your legal name in some markets, and that's not your legal name. So we would have to just work with them to get that changed. Other than that, understanding your asset mix and what you're investing in today, no.
A related question, in all the transitions you've done, have there been consistently sticky spots, or do they vary from client to client?
Let me see. Consistently sticky would be, understanding markets, that is a sticky one. And that goes for all priors, not just State Street. But just dealing with State Street, they will ask you to fill out some paperwork and do callbacks, you know, a day or two before transition, but that's their normal course of business, so no. And I should mention, the transition team at Northern works with the transition team at State Street, and we all know each other. So they know what to expect from us, and we know what to expect from them. So, you know, I talk about the 26 from State Street. That's just the ones that I've worked on. But we've worked on way more than that. So we all work together.
So on a related question, and this is my cynicism, unfortunately. I doubt you've ever done a transition, and trust me, you should be honest, that has been seamless. So where do you see spots, and which ones are you particularly on guard for?
I get nervous when the custody contracts are not completed in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. That makes me very nervous. I've had a couple where it's the day before transition and we're finally getting contracts signed. That makes me nervous, and I don't like to see that. That is number one. Okay. But I will say that we can work together, me and Kathy, because she handles all the documentation. We can work with your legal staff throughout that 8 week. That's one of the first things on our weekly calls is where are we at with the contracts. So that's number one. And what makes a really successful transition is having clients that are willing and able to provide the information that we need in a timely manner and are, you know, being a partner, and I can already tell that he wants to be a partner, so I don't foresee any issues at that point. But if we come up with something, that's where I need to raise my hand and say, you know, we have too much red going on here. I need some help.
Okay, Jerry, I think from and I'm not directly involved in the transition, but what I've experienced is that most of the core blocking and tackling goes very smoothly. It just, you know, we put the assets on records, they come over on the date. Every now and then you have an anomaly out there, and I shared one of those anomalies with Henry and the team, and it was Wyoming Retirement System. It was fully disclosed. I think you might have spoken with Ruth. We transitioned them in from J.P. Morgan Chase, where they had been for a long period of time. And J.P. Morgan Chase had tax reclaims that were pending on their records, and therefore Wyoming Retirement System had these tax reclaims pending on their records. When we went through the transition and we did the reconciliation of tax reclamations that were out there, it turned out that a number of them had never been filed for. So, you know, Chase had 500,000 on their records, Wyoming had 500,000 on their records. We go through the transition and we find out that 250,000 of that is not valid. So then the client has to take a write down. So that was a one-off situation. We had never seen that before. So we can't sit here and say that when you transition over, that there isn't going to be some anomaly that pops up. There very may well be, but 99.9% of the transitions, assets come over smoothly, the receivables come over smoothly. You know, you may be delayed a day or two getting a pay down or something because the bank is holding on to it, but generally speaking, it all ties out. And Julie remains on the relationship until the first audited accounting goes out. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that our opening balance on the Northern Trust accounting will equal the closing balance on State Street's records. In your case, minus the alternatives.
Right.
And then to the current market value. So once that ties out on the first accounting report, Julie basically signs off on it, and the transition function is completed at that point.
And that's a really important piece, is the transition reconciliation, right? You want to make sure that everything that you had at your prior is now at Northern. And I monitor that with our transition quota review team to make sure that that is appropriate. What we will need from State Street is their audited report. So if you transition March, I'm going to need their February audited reports. And then any other activity that happens within that transition month, I'm going to ask them for details. What did that cash represent that you sent me on March 15th? And we're going to provide you with that breakdown. And once we do complete that full reconciliation, we offer up to have your auditors on a call. But it's really important for us to walk you through all of those reports so you feel comfortable that everything did move over. Okay.
And I would just add that another key piece to the transition is, while Julie talked about the initial kickoff call, we'll actually also schedule what we call a day in the life. And essentially what we would do is we would schedule a day to come out here to spend with the staff. Kind of do a very deep dive of what it is that everyone does on a daily basis. So we want to understand, you know, what reports are you using? What data on the reports are you using? What are you doing with the data? Are they creating reports for you? And so that we can get a good understanding of the information that they're using so that we can make suggestions to either which reports to use. Maybe there's reports that we see based on what they're doing that can create some efficiencies for them, et cetera. We need to understand what information are your consultants receiving, what information are any of your other third parties receiving, so that come transition time, we are all prepared. We've got the reports. If we need to customize any reports on your behalf, we can do that before the transition, so that when all those assets move, you're ready to be able to receive those reports and continue on your standard processing of what you typically do and maybe the reports that they're providing to you on a periodic basis. So that's really key as well, is to understand exactly what it is that the staff members are doing and how they're using the data.
What will you do with the cash equitization overlay during the transition period?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The overlay during the transition eight-week period, what do you guys do about that?
Well, we would work, as you use a manager for cash overlay?
Parametric.
Yeah, we would work with your manager and make sure that whatever the last, you know, whatever trades are going to happen, again, I'll pick the March 1st, all trades February 28th, or is it a leap year? I don't know. The last would be at State Street, and then any new trades would be at Northern Trust, but we would work with your managers on that.
Is that not a daily?
No, it's not daily. It is daily adjusted for cash flows, but I believe they roll things on a 3 times a week basis. Almost daily, not quite daily.
So as I mentioned, we will receive a reconciliation from them when it's all said and done. They're going to work closely with us on the international documentation. That's a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, right.
It's a huge piece. You know, when I went through that before, that was one of the aha moments for me, was just how much was involved with that.
Yeah.
And like you've mentioned, you've been through that so many times, you know, which is great. And then one other piece of the puzzle is also the class action filings, because a lot of times the full transactional detail doesn't come over from the prior custodian. And when you file those class action claims, it's, you know, because you held a security at a certain point in time. So that's, you know, something that we're going to be working through in the process as well.
Correct. So. Anything else for our guests? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time.
That's got to be the end, right?
Jeff?
We have anything else on the agenda?
You don't sit there at the dinner table at home, do you?
This one?
Yeah. You don't sit there?
if they come to the dinner table.
That's right. Of course they have it, he puts it out at Thanksgiving.
I'm Jeff.
So the recommendation is to authorize the CEO to execute a contract with Northern Trust for master custodian, subject to satisfactory legal review.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes.